This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Joining me in just a second will be Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He's the president of Belmont Abbey College. They just launched another school year, but he's got an interesting background. He's an NCAA Division I coach and a gifted Olympian. He's been with me many times in the past talking about sports and a lot of these events that are unfolding. But there was this kerfuffle, over the Los Angeles Clippers. And this was a story that broke a couple days ago. The owner, Don Sterling, racial comments, and of course the events of Ferguson, Missouri, over the shooting of Michael Brown. It to me has really highlighted that race is a very sensitive subject in our country today. And as I said before, it's kind of out of my frame of reference. I don't understand how the pigment of somebody's skin can drive people's emotions the way that it does, you know, and the way they'll say things and look at them and treat them. And to me, it's hard for me to grasp that, but it is a reality. In fact, you know, it's so insensitive that the co-owner of the Atlanta Hawks right now, the basketball team, and I don't know if you saw the story break a couple days ago, he's voluntarily selling his stake in the team because of an email he wrote 2 years ago. And I want to talk about this because, you know, should he take these measures? Should he sell his business, his source of income because of an email he wrote? Now, what he wrote in the email wasn't right. In that email, Bruce Levinson, he outlined ways that he thought the team could attract more whites from the Atlanta suburbs to his team games because he was looking around the arena. He saw that a majority of the people there were black. So in his email, he was asking questions about how they could attract another demographic. But then the general manager, he made a remark in a conference call about a potential player from Africa that was truly, you know, it was truly bigoted and really somehow got Levinson's conscience, and he voluntarily went to the NBA, told them about the memo, told them he was selling his share in the team. And basically, this is what he said. He said it was inflammatory nonsense. You know, we all have subtle biases and preconceptions when it comes to race, but my role as a leader is to challenge them, not to validate or accommodate those who might hold them. But my question is this, and we're going to talk about it now. What was it, inflammatory nonsense? I thought about companies and politicians. Now, I'm not condoning prejudice at all, please, or discrimination. Do not get me wrong. But as we were talking about this with my production team, we were saying, gosh, look at the politicians. Look at the companies, and look what they do all the time. Look what politicians do when they run for office. Don't they always think about how they can target a certain demographic to get that vote? How can I get more Latino voters, more African American voters? How can I get this particular ethnic group or this faith based group? Aren't they looking for the soccer mom vote? Huh? I mean, think about that. Don't advertisers target their demographics, whether it's seniors or gays or blacks or whites? You know, you name it. Happens all the time. Even the former Los Angeles Lakers basketball star Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he said there was nothing wrong with what Levinson wrote in his memo. So what's going on here? That's what I want to talk about. And joining me today to give us some perspective on this, Dr. Bill Thierfelder. He is the author of a great book, Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sports, Business, and Everyday Life. He's also the president of Belmont Abbey. Great to have him with me today. Hey, doctor, good afternoon.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. Thanks for having me on the show.
I see the story unfolding, and I immediately thought of you, and I'm glad Cassie was able to get you. And how busy it is as a school year launches for you to be able to sneak away for a little bit and join the relevant radio audience. But give me the background that you have that you think is relevant, and then maybe share what's wrong with looking around your arena as an owner and say, hey, how can we get another demographic in here? Is that really discriminatory?
You know, what I would say to you is that I think you have to look at it in this way. If you're having just a discussion about, as you said, target markets and so forth, I don't think there's any issue with doing that. I think the problem is if you start to make judgments in a gross way across whole swaths of people. So, for example, although we're talking about Bruce Levinson and the fact that he's now given up the team voluntarily, the real issue came about when the GM, Danny Ferry, was on a conference call with a bunch of guys and had this conversation about one of the players that they were thinking about recruiting or drafting. And at first what came out was, all he said was, he has a little African in him. And I thought, well, you know, if somebody said about me, hey, he has a little Irish in him, I mean, I wouldn't take offense at that. But Then, here was the problem. Then it went on to say what came after that, and he said, not in a bad way, but he's like a guy who would have a nice store out front and sell you counterfeit stuff out of the back.
Wow.
Now, wait, that's still maybe not as bad, right? Because now he's talking about the guy, but here's what he said. He goes, and he's a two-faced liar and cheat. So now, if someone said about me, hey, you know, he has a little Irish in him, and he's a two-faced liar and cheat, you'd be applying that because I was Irish, I was a two-faced liar and cheat. Not because I personally was, and maybe I was, right? But what's being attributed now is to, you know, everybody that's from African descent is somehow a two-faced liar and cheat. I mean, that is really the crux of the problem. And given the sensitivity, as you pointed out with Don Sterling and the Clippers, this has become major. And the bigger the platform and the more visible it is, the more you're going to get individuals that this is going to become a real issue. And it is. I mean, it was inappropriate, completely inappropriate what he said. And he said it on a conference call to, I think, 12, 15 people on a major conference call.
Whatever happened to sensitivity training, though, or giving a person a second chance? I mean, this guy is selling, you know, his shares in his stake in what is a very rare opportunity to have a ball club like that. I just, you know, I don't know whether that's extreme or not. Maybe there's a zero tolerance policy, and maybe that's a great thing to see. I don't know. I'm on the fence on this one because I think, you know, the act, it can be applauded. I think it's very heroic of him to do this and to point himself out. But at the same time, I think, I don't know. I just think selling because of an email from 2 years ago, that to me is a lot.
Well, but I think it's like the tip of the iceberg thing. I think there was a lot more here. And if you look at the comments that were made by the other co-owner, when these comments came out during this conference call, and this is what gets me about all of this, is that some of this isn't being done for the right reason. I mean, it's being done out of a purely profit motive kind of thing. And so this other co-owner had spoken with Levinson and said, were you awake? Were you listening on this conference call? Because he said Ferry's comments, and this is what his quote was, could be fatal to the franchise if made public. So I think the whole issue was, this is a money deal thing. This is about how much can you get away with before you actually damage the brand and damage the price. Who knows what's worked out behind the scenes in terms of equity and all other kinds of things. Maybe this was the thing to say, look, you're going to get the same thing that happened to Don Sterling. We might as well just deal with this up front. You can get out of this hole. I'll make sure that you're compensated. Who knows what went on behind? But I think there's a lot more to this than just, hey, this email came out, and now he's suddenly saying I'm selling the team.
It's interesting. What do you make of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's comments? He read the memo, found, you know, one or two things that were cringeworthy, but he said there was nothing really that he interpreted as too racist or bigoted in that. Does his name, his reputation, his race carry any weight?
Well, I don't know, to be honest with you, and it's always different. For example, as you know, if you make a comment about someone of your own ancestry, you know, whether it's Irish, African, black, white, whatever it might be, you get away with a lot more because people say, well, you know, you're saying it about yourself, in essence, right? But this is you know, two Caucasian guys who own teams in a city that I think has a very high percentage of African Americans in it who are attending games and supporting and living their lives there, and you're making this comment about in a very broad way, and given again the sensitivities you pointed out. I mean, look at Ferguson and everything else. Race is a real issue in this country. It is something that you know, you hate to see that these kinds of things still exist, as to your point. In other words, what difference does it make what color anybody is or where they're from? It should make a difference.
Yeah, and give me your take on that. I mean, I'm so shocked personally by how racist it seems that Americans still are. I mean, whether you look back at Rodney King, you take a look at Michael Brown and Ferguson, you take a look at, the owners of ball clubs. I mean, the most shocking, of course, was Donald Sterling. And now you've got this particular situation. Every few months we're hearing a different story. What's driving that? What's your take on that? Did you see that when you were in the world of sports?
Absolutely. But I think the difference here is are we talking about individuals, you know, particular individuals, or are we talking about whole groups of people? And I think that's the two things that get co-mixed together sometimes. So, for example, is there anything wrong with saying that people who are looting and just breaking down an innocent person's store and breaking through their windows because of something somebody else may have said or done, is there any justification for doing that? And the answer is absolutely no. So that individual is wrong. Now, to say that doesn't mean I'm racist against whatever color that person would be. It just means that person did something they shouldn't have done. Right. Now, on the other hand, is there some other thing going on there that really is worthy of discussion and change? It sounds like there could be. So again, I think this is what makes it so tough. But what I would say, if anything, what everybody should take away from this is, I've been singing this as loud as I can, sport is supposed to be a means for developing virtue. Mm-hmm. And we need to demand that it is, because the problem today, as I see it, is that self-centeredness and selfishness has become the new normal. It's not that these problems didn't always exist, but today we sort of say, well, of course it's about me. So when you hear the comments about why they're upset about these racial slurs or these comments, it's not because, hey, this is really wrong and I may have offended an individual that I shouldn't have. It's more, hey, this could devastate us financially. You know, this could ruin our franchise. I mean, it has nothing to do with anything. So the end product, if we get back down to money, power, fame, that means everything is going to be justified to get there, no matter what you do. And that's, of course, that's immoral. There's going to be many immoral things we would do. Very often, you know, if you look at the recession, how did we have a recession? It wasn't because there weren't smart people there. We had really brilliant people but they didn't ask the question they should have. They didn't. Instead of asking, can I, they should have asked, should I? And I think that's the question we have today in sport. In other words, it's about the moral underpinnings. And it doesn't mean, again, that there weren't always problems. There's always been problems in society and sport. But the fact that we've accepted that selfishness is really okay, this idea of relativism is okay, I think, you know, that what you see now is the fruit of that. These things that come out are just pointers back to the real underlying problem.
Right. My guest today is Dr. Bill Fehrfelder. It's almost 20 after the hour. We need to take just a short break here. When we come back, Doc, I'd love to get your take on what's happening with Ray Rice as well. If you want to join our conversation, great time to get in. Our toll-free number here is 877-ROME. 777, that's 877-766-3777. We'll take your comments, your thoughts, your questions, and we'll discuss more right after this. Stay with me.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, now 21 minutes after the hour. Welcome back. Hey, you want a good read? Check out this website. Less than a minute to go. There's a book by that title as well. Less than a minute to go. The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sports, Business, in Everyday Life. And my guest today is the author of that, Dr. Bill Fehrfelder, also the president of Belmont Abbey College. You might want to check them out as well at bac.edu. They're a Catholic liberal arts college, and if your kids are looking for a good school, they'll get well-formed and well-educated there, that's for sure. And Dr. Fehrfelder was pointing out that sports really should be a means for virtue, for cultivating that. And Doctor, I just want to pick it up on a disturbing note. I mean, we saw a video the other night that was finally released, elevator video of Ray Rice, now a former Baltimore Raven football player, knocking his, fiancé or girlfriend, unconscious. She would go on to marry him and would go on, even at his own apology thing, to apologize publicly. And there's a lot of controversy over all of it. What do you make of this? We've seen a lot of these types of cases of abuse come out of the NFL. It's a very violent sport. They now have they've continued to change their policy, becoming more stringent. What do you think of the firing of this man, what we're seeing there, and your own takeaway from it?
Well, it's unfortunate for everybody involved, including him, but it was the right thing to do. It was, if anybody saw it, I mean, it's like brutal. You know, I mean, this is like a one-punch, knockout punch of a woman. I don't care if she's yelling at you or whatever it might be. I don't know about you. When I grew up, my mother and father said, you never touch a woman, you know, you'd ever.
That's
you know,
true. My father always
said
that.
You run the other direction, right. You know, you don't hit back kind of thing. So that's, I mean, maybe that's more a matter of upbringing or formation. And I will say this premise, though. The majority of players that I know in the NFL are fantastic men. I mean, who are great husbands, great fathers. I mean, just wonderful, good people. So sometimes when you see these things, it over, you know, clouds or overshades all those good people and all those good men that are playing in the NFL. But these kind of things exist because, again, in sport today, it's about the end that counts. So it's about money, power, fame. The idea of formation is not there. It's not there in the coaching. It's not there in the ongoing. In other words, these guys come in. They're seen as a piece of meat. They got skills and talents that make money. That's what we care about. As long as they can make you money, that's why we care about them. But that's why we'll talk nicely to them. But in the end, you get thrown out, and they don't really care about you one way or the other because you're there to make them money. And the players then, either two things happen. One is that's how they start to look at life and people, and they start to have a sense of greater importance about themselves, that they're really capable of doing anything. But they're also not given the tools sometimes. I mean, many of these guys come from, white, black, whatever they might be. They come from some difficult backgrounds, and they have not been, given the proper formation in terms of how to have a relationship, as an example. And so, whoever you are, obviously that is the inappropriate way. And you could see what happened there. He's in a small space. He's in an elevator. She looks like she's yelling at him and coming towards him. He reacted in completely the absolutely terrible wrong way. I mean, you can't do it, but clearly he had no sense of how do you handle a situation like this in a more appropriate way, and so he did this terrible thing. And to be honest with you, you gotta live with the consequences of what you do, and that was, of to me, a severity enough that there's no way you can just let that go and say, hey, we'll get over it. I mean, that's just... Again, we're back to the visibility of the platform these people are on. And as a player, you are seen by the world. If you're an owner of a team, you're seen by the world. And so the things that you do, not that anybody who's unknown shouldn't have the same accountability, but clearly you're the more visible role model, whether you want to be or not, and people then have to make a role model out of you in the sense of saying, if you're going to do something like this, then we're going to have to make an example of you like this.
Let me ask you, just on a personal note, I heard the wife come out and say, hey, this has been a very difficult thing. I actually felt terrible last night watching the video. It was on every channel practically, and they were running it over and over. They were looping the video. They were putting it in slow motion. You're wow. seeing her head hit this bar. And I thought, as a victim, you're reliving that moment and watching that. But also, it's a shameful thing. If the couple is indeed, working it out and trying to move forward, did the media do them a disservice by perhaps broadcasting this to the world?
Perhaps. I guess maybe you could look at, though, from the standpoint that this kind of abuse exists at a much greater level than people are aware of. I mean, I'm a psychologist, and when I used to see patients, I can't tell you how many women came into me that were sexually abused that I don't think anybody knows about. I mean, it's a serious problem. And so this kind of physical abuse is ongoing. So something like this, unfortunately for them, brings attention to many people about this issue, and it's real and it's important. Like the persecution of the Christians and the rest of the world who are getting their heads chopped off, little girls getting their heads chopped off, women getting their throats slit. I mean, these are unbelievable things that are happening in our world, and it takes awareness of it. And although we don't want to be aware of it, we've got to be aware of it, and then we've got to do something about it. And I guess my point, bottom line to this, is sport. We control sport. Not these other people. It's not the players and the owners that control sport. We control sport because we pay for everything. So we should be demanding a certain way. And that, by the way, when I say sport is a means of developing virtue, it's not only virtue, it's world-class performance and virtue. They're not mutually exclusive. I'm looking for both things, and both are capable. There are people there in pro sport, in the NFL, that are men of excellence and virtue. They have it all. They have the world-class performance, and they got the virtue.
Hey, Doc, I want to thank you for being here and always giving great insight into these issues. Your book, I guess less than a minute to go, how can people get that if they want to pick that up and learn about
it? Amazon. Go Amazon.com, and you'll find it. It's audio as well.
And you address that theme in there. The subtitle, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport Business and Everyday Life. Those principles can apply to people who aren't necessarily just looking for a sports book, right?
Absolutely. It's about life.
All right, love it. Hey, get back to work, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much, Drew. God bless
Doc,
you.
Hey, Doc, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Bill Thierfelder, folks, president of Belmont Abbey. And, of course, he is an Olympian. He was an NCAA Division I coach. And, as you heard, a psychologist, a diplomat of the American Board of Psychological Specialties, and just a really gifted guy. Always appreciate having him on. One of my favorite guests. We'll talk more about that. In fact, if you got a loved one suffering –